The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Welcome to Exploring the Word. Merry Christmas.
We do wish you a Merry Christmas here in the early part of December, and it is everywhere down here in Northeast Mississippi, even cold weather. Alex, is it cold there in North Carolina?
It sure is, Bert, and almost as if on cue, Sunday, December 1st, I think the temperature went down 12 or 13 degrees.
Yeah.
And you know me, anything below 50, and I'm questioning if humans can survive these low temperatures. But yeah, it was like 27 this morning.
Yeah.
It was below freezing.
It was here as well. But we thank you for listening here on Exploring the Word on AFR. It's our joy, Alex and myself, to be a part of this program and the whole lineup. Alex, we don't talk a lot about the lineup, but God has really put some people here at certain places, doing certain things, helping Christians with a biblical worldview and to inform them and help them grow in the Lord. And Exploring the Word is a vital part of that, isn't it?
Well, it is. And we often say how much we love and appreciate the listeners, but we really do. And just all the correspondence. By the way, if you ever want to email us, and we will get it, and word@afr.net, W-O-R-D, word@afr.net, and your email might become, you know, subject matter for a future program or something. But a lot of people email in, and some people mail, you know, letters to us, and they'll say that we help them get back into the Bible. It's the Lord. This is just totally by God and for His glory. But Bert, I was on a show this morning, and I had the privilege of being on for Jeff Shreve, and we were talking about that the Bible is to the Christian, you know, what good nutrition is to the body.
Amen.
And you're going to be anemic spiritually. You're going to atrophy spiritually if you don't have the strength every day of God's Word. So we just count it a joy, and people say that Exploring the Word means a lot to them, and we hope that is the case, but we just give God all the praise, because if we didn't have Jesus and the Bible, we would have no hope, would we?
That is exactly right. And through the Word of God, we can grow. It's like honey in the honeycomb, according to what the psalmist called it, and it is that sweet. And even today, when we look at Hosea, when they're talking about the judgment, you still see the hope that God has for His people. So we want to dig into this. It's in Hosea. And let's set it up a minute, Alex, and remind people, because there may be some just tuning in. Hosea is not just a prophetic word, but it is a prophetic demonstration. Hosea had married Gomer. And Gomer began to wander and play the prostitute. And he goes back and he redeems her and brings her back home. And then we hear the story about Israel and I would say Judah, as they would depart and leave God out and go after strange gods. But God in His promises said, I am going to do something in the last days and bringing them back. So, Alex, Hosea, yes, it's got a lot of judgment, but it has a lot of hope in it as well, doesn't it?
Exactly. It really does. We're going to get to a great chapter that I love. But yesterday we were in Hosea chapter 7, and there was more about the really, I might say, warning or promised destruction of Israel. And there was an analogy of a baker who heated up the oven and made the dough and then just walked off. And it says in verse 14 of chapter 7, I'm going to read 13 as well. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me, destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. Boy, isn't that a vivid picture, to be, you know, not able to sleep, but howling. And the word there really means, you know, groaning and crying on their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Assembling together corporately should have been for worship and praise, not just for debauchery. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. And it all comes back to disobedience and just being stiff-necked. Now, in chapter 8, we're going to talk a little bit about religion, but it's not the redemptive reality of a relationship with God. It's empty paganism, but not salvation.
That's exactly right. In chapters, I would say chapter 6 and 7 introduces what you have in chapter 8. Let me do this one more time. I did it yesterday. If you're reading chapter 6 and chapter 7, read them together, and you'll find 6 similes. That means they're comparisons. This is what you're like. And in chapter 6, verse 4, you find out it says you're like the morning dew. It seems refreshing, but when the sun comes out, it disappears. It lasts for a little while. And he was saying, that's the way you are. It's not real. And then in chapter 7, verse 4, it says, you're like the overheated oven. That's what you referred to. And then in verse 8, it says, you're like a cake unturned. You're burned on one side and raw on the other side. And then it says in verse 9, it uses the idea of gray hair, and yet you do not know how old you are. In other words, and I kind of relate to that. I'd see our sons playing ball or our grandsons, and I want to pass the football with them, and it only goes as half as far as I want it to go, Alex. Age does creep up on you. And then in verse 11, it says you're like a silly dove. You go from one thing to another thing. And this is what Israel was doing. This is what Judah was doing. They would say, okay, I'll try God. But no, I want to go over here and try this God. I will make an allegiance to this nation, but that doesn't work. I'll go to another nation rather than depending upon God. And then finally, and you've read that in verse 16 of chapter 7, you're like a deceitful bow. In other words, you can't hit the target because you're deceived. You're not going. You're not admitting your sins. You're not confessing your sins. You're just saying, oh, I'm suffering from my sin. And you want to get out of the suffering, but you don't want to turn away from your sin. And so, Alex, what you have in chapter 6 and 7 is this turning away from God, having a form of religion, but not the power thereof. And that's exactly what you have in these two chapters.
Do you remember the Andy Griffith episode where the carnival was in town and there was the target shooting skill game, but they purposely had the sights off so nobody could hit the target? And that's like that deceitful bow, you know, you can't hit the target. We often talk about the Bible, you know, the Bible says it enlightens your eyes and brings wisdom to the heart. If you're looking at life through the lens of the world or relativism, that we can make our own truth, or atheism, and you deny God and moral absolutes, you're going to miss the target.
Right.
I mean, if you want vision, 2020 vision from a spiritual sense, reality, it's got to be through the lens of Scripture. And, you know, you mentioned that verse 11 about a silly dove without heart. People without convictions. Hey, you know, if there's two things that everybody needs, and certainly our nation needs these kind of people, people of conviction and courage.
Amen.
And I'll put another C, confidence. Conviction means you have trusted what God says, and you know what truth is. You know what's right and wrong. You know what's absolute because you've believed God's revelation. That's conviction. Bert, I don't just hope Jesus is the one and only Son of God. I know he is.
Amen. No doubt. And you're talking about missing the mark. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That short means you've missed the mark. We miss it every time. If you do it in your own vision, in your own ideas, you're going to miss the mark every time. Yeah. And so, Alex, isn't that it? Don't be deceived.
Exactly. You know, let's imagine a target with a bullseye. And you know, let's say salvation is that perfect bullseye, and you miss it by an inch or you miss it by 50 feet. If you've missed it, you've missed it.
Doesn't matter.
I want to say this. It is not good people that go to heaven. It is born again people that go to heaven, because none of us are good. We're all sinners. And like a dove that needs a heart or to know where it's going, we desperately need people of conviction and calm confidence and courage. We're not trying to be arrogant or braggadocious, because it's nothing of ourselves. But Bert, I know salvation. I know who God is. I know what morality and marriage and family is. We know right versus wrong. We know about human gender. We know about the hotly contested issues of our day, because Almighty God, our Creator, has revealed what truth is.
Amen. And so with that in mind, those that go astray are doing it willfully. Let me just say that when you look at chapter 8, especially this chapter, you'll find willful disobedience, willfully ignoring God. And this is, Alex, some of the issues of the day. That's exactly what they're doing. They're willfully ignoring truth. Here it is. Set the trumpet to your mouth. He shall come like an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. Israel will cry to me, my God, we know you. Israel has cast off the good. The enemy will pursue him. Now, Alex, I have verse 3 underlined and highlighted in my Bible. Israel has cast off the good. Purposefully, willfully doing this disobedience to God, and the judgment, the trumpet to your mouth, listen, the judgment is coming. That's exactly because of willful idolatry. Just like Gomer left Hosea, she did it purposefully. She did it willfully to go after someone else. And so, Alex, we don't need to do that as a church, as individuals. Stay with God. One of the most important words that you'll find in the Bible is continue. Continue in the way of the Lord, being confident of this very thing, that he who started a good work in you will complete it. So continue to follow him. They were willfully disobedient in their decisions they were making.
Verse 3, Israel hath cast off the thing that is good, the enemy shall pursue. I looked up that word that is translated cast off, and it really means forsaken, or they've left the solid ground of security. Bert, this is not a perfect illustration, but 30 years ago when I was a youth pastor, we took a beach trip, and we had one of our adult leaders that was a little bit older than me, and in my opinion, wasn't in the greatest shape. But we were off the coast of North Carolina, and out in this, the Sound was an island. And this guy, he said, I'm going to swim out there to that island. And I said, I'm not sure you want to do that. But anyway, I said, just stay here with us. But anyway, he was determined. This guy was probably in his 40s. And we looked, and he was about halfway out to this island in the Sound, and he was struggling. And we had to swim out there and rescue him. He left the stability and the solid ground for a place that he shouldn't have gone and, in fact, couldn't go. You don't want to cast off that which is your source of life and salvation.
Stay with God all the way. And when we return, we'll pick up in chapter 8 and see about this thing that you sow to the wind and reap a whirlwind. You don't want to miss it. We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Happy birthday, Jesus. You might have heard the phrase Brooklyn Tab, And I think that was the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. We love the music of Christmas. Hey, and by the way, we're in Hosea 8 in the Old Testament. Bert Harper, Alex McFarland, we invite you to follow along with us. Then later on in the show, we will get to your calls and Bible questions. We'd love to hear from you if you have a Bible question. But Bert, I've preached from Hosea 8 quite a number of times. Let me read verse 4. They have set up kings, but not by me. And they have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold they have made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? In other words, how long are they going to go down this pathway of sin before they repent? Now, Bert, there were a lot of sins, but for a monotheistic Jew, in other words, Deuteronomy 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. One God. Sin is sin, but one of the worst sins for the Jewish people would have been idolatry. And to build idols, golden calves, you know, human leaders and dumb idols. Why do they call them dumb? D-U-M-B? Because they can't speak or do anything. They had fallen into a deep, deep, dark pit of sin, hadn't they?
They really had. And the last three words in the New King James Version of verse 4, they set up kings, but not by me. Alex, that's the whole idea. This is where man is desiring. They want to do things like God. Evolution came out of that. It didn't come out of scientific research. It came out of philosophy and trying to find some evidence that would validate that. It really hasn't completely. They had to draw in the missing links between each thing, you know, of man evolving. And so it's not by me. This is the whole idea. What we want to do is God's way, God's time in God's way, doing God's work God's way. How important is that? It's so vital. And here in these verses, I think it demonstrates that my anger is aroused against them. His anger. And Alex, he is slow to anger. You know,
and
he's not ready to just throw it out quickly. No, he's slow to anger and great in mercy. But his anger is aroused, and therefore there's going to be a price to pay. And he gets to that in 6 and 7. Far from Israel is even this, a workman made it, and it is not God. There it is again. But the calf of Samaria, say, broken into pieces. These gods you're depending upon, they're going to be broken down. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind.
Yep.
The stalk has no bud. It shall never produce meal if it should produce at all. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. There's another one of those sayings that you talk about quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Where did it come from? Straight out of the Word of God, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, different ones. Like, did you ever see Herbert, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Lockyer,
you know, yes.
And he would do all these lists, like, you know, all the women of the Bible and all the miracles of the Bible. Well, he had written, and others have too, about the common sayings that are found in the Bible. And this is one, Hosea 8, 7, sow to the wind and reap a whirlwind. What that means is, you know, things just blow up in your face, that bad decision or that disobedient action had far more repercussions than you could have realized. And let me say this about the crop that bad seeds yields. It hath no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. If it be that it yields, the strangers shall swallow it up. Verse 8, Israel is swallowed up. Now they shall be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein there is no pleasure. Now all of these words, like a stalk with a bud, or fruit that someone else would get, or a vessel in whom there's no pleasure. You know, Bert, I really don't think the human race has changed much at all. Now, I know in the modern world we have a few more electronic gadgets, but still, you know, people need food, clothing, and shelter. They need water and hydration. They need oxygen. They need family and friends. I mean, we might think we're pretty sophisticated and unique, but I submit that the human race, we're still sinners in need of a Savior. We're conflicted with God, conflicted with our surroundings, maybe even conflicted within ourselves, because we know the right, but we do the wrong. That's why, even though some of these illustrations and these comparisons, like some empty vessel, there should be something in there, and it's vacuous, empty. I think these things still apply. It's because human nature really hasn't changed, has it?
Let me see. Is there anything new under the sun in reality?
No.
The answer is we may have discovered some things, developed some things, but really nothing new under the sun. Man is still wayward, going his own way. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So anytime you do it, again, going back to verse 4, not by God, it's the wrong way. It's the wrong thing to do, the wrong direction to travel. And he goes on and gives another comparison here, Alex, not just the vessel, but in verse 9. Now, this speaks loudly. And you can go here and look at the animals that Hosea is familiar with, the silly dove. And now here's another one. For they have gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey alone by itself. Ephraim has hired lovers. A wild donkey. Now, Alex, I know you had horses as a young man in your farm. We did not have horses. Now, I was familiar with them with other people's and get to do that. But also, I knew some people that had donkeys. Now, listen, donkeys, for them to be a beast of burden, one that can help, they got to be tamed. And that's what was so unique about Jesus going and getting a donkey that had never been ridden before and him riding on it. He not only calms the storms, he calms the donkey that normally would not have been ridden. That's our God. But they're donkey. Go ahead.
A couple of times in my life, we did own a donkey. And listen, I will not belabor the point. This is back during COVID, so this wasn't that long ago. But Angie had a horse named Raven, and Raven is no longer with us. But we got a donkey. It's a long story. And that donkey was okay. And we had about a two-acre pasture, and we put the horse and the donkey together. And that donkey went crazy, bit me. Seriously, this donkey bit me. I know what a wild donkey is like. Yeah. But let me just say this. In the ancient world, people and livestock, the idea of being orphaned was a bad thing. I mean, because we're going to see this. Let me read this in verse 10. Yo, they have hired among the nations. So if you've got a livestock, cow, horse, or donkey, that's not got a place, somebody's going to steal it and put it into hard servitude or enslavement. And Israel, having cut itself loose from the true and living God and the straight way and the path of God's truth, that's like a wild donkey that's alone out in the wilderness, and somebody's going to steal it, sell it into, you know, work. Bert, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The Cathedral Quartet had a song, "Sin will cost you far more than you meant to pay." And hey, let me just say this. The Bible says the pleasures of sin are but for a season. Sometimes the pleasures of sin are just momentary, but the painful, heartbreaking repercussions go on a long time. And if through this portion of Scripture you're thinking, wow, God sure does take a dim view of sin, yeah, because he loves you. Because he loves you. Now, you might say, and I want to segue to verse 11. I've preached on this many times. So maybe if I've, you know, people think about life as a scale. I've got X amount of evil and sin, but I'll offset it by trying to do some good deeds, some meritorious thing, some religion. It says this, "Ephraim hath made many altars to sin. Altars shall be unto him as sin." Now, you think, wait a minute, an altar is a good thing. And I've said this, forgive my repetition, but if the good thing is keeping you from the best thing, it's a bad thing. See, an altar is religion. What they needed was repentance and to turn back and say, God, have mercy on me. Please save me, forgive me, and I'll follow you from this point forward. Bert, sinners don't need religion. Sinners need a redeemer, and that's Jesus.
And he is the only one. There's no other one. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one, and he paid the price that no one else could pay. And Alex, this is so true. The altars they have built were pagan altars. And that's, if we're not careful, that's what we will do, even in our churches. And we will honor the way we do things rather than the one that we're doing it for. And is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the centerpiece of it all.
And, Bert, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Satan doesn't care if you go to church, does he?
He does not. Listen, he'll whisper in your ear while you're singing the hymn or while you're praying. And listen, you have to have a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You have to discipline yourself. That's the word that we like to use the word disciple, but the word disciple is the word discipline. We are following him. And I'm just telling you, these people that Hosea was writing to, they were undisciplined in all their ways. They were undisciplined in their business practices. They were undisciplined in their family life. They were undisciplined in their worship. That was the whole idea. And I know I'm beating a dead horse to death, but going back to verse 4, chapter 8, not by God's way. They were doing it their way. So their altar worship was what? Their way. The way they wanted to do it.
And it was just a compounding judgment on them.
It really was. And it goes on. Notice what it says here in verse 12. I have written for him the great things of my law, but they were considered a strange thing. Now, Alex, do you remember that in the New Testament? You can probably tell me more about it, but I remember it well. When you don't run to the same excesses that you used to when you were lost and now you're saved and you're going in a different direction, the Bible says that I think it's strange. Listen, following God, it is a strange way of living. We follow a God we do not see. We obey a Bible that was written 2,000 years ago plus that, and we're seeking him. And Alex, we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling in us. In other words, God living in us. We're the temple of God. It's a strange thing. But yet, when you come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and he makes himself known to you and the Holy Spirit of God indwells you and makes that different, you're no longer the same. All things have become new. Listen, it becomes strange. How could I have lived that life without God, you know? And so here it is. They considered the law a strange thing. Alex, that really intrigued me with what they were doing. They were doing it their way, weren't they?
Well, they were. And let me say this. It's fascinating. I've got verse 12 in the King James. I've written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. All right. In the original language, the great is translated in English, the great things of my law. I looked it up in a lexicon, and it says basically the 10,000 things of my law. Now, here's the thing. The word 10,000 means something innumerable, beyond counting. Jesus returns with 10,000 times 10,000. So in Scripture, the number 10,000 signifies beyond measure. Now, what this is saying is the Word of God is great beyond measure. Beyond how important is the Bible and the Word of God? 10,000 reasons I could give you. In other words, do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
And he says, look, I've given him my great, immeasurably wonderful word, and yet they count it like a strange thing. And I'm just going to say this, Bert, we've got churches today that they're preaching and believing anything but the Bible, sadly. That's why I would say, you know, don't go to a church that rejects the Amen. Authenticity and the authority of God's word.
Preach it, brother. Let's read verses 13 and 14, about a minute and a half left before the break. For the sacrifices of my offerings, they sacrifice flesh and eat it, but the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. They shall return to Egypt. What I brought them out, I'm going to take them back. For Israel has forgotten his maker. All of you that underline or highlight, and I've got a, mine is, gotten his maker, they have forgotten. He has built temples. Judah also has multiplied fortified cities, but I will send fire upon his cities, and it shall devour his palaces. Alex, when God's judgment comes, is there any hiding?
There is not. There's no escaping the judgment of God. Hey, we've got a break in just a moment. Here's the number, folks. You might want to write this down, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, if you've got a Bible question, and their line's open, and you will get in. And so maybe if you've never called in, we'd love to hear from everybody, but first-time callers as well. If you have a question or comment on this Tuesday edition of Exploring the Word, call in. We'd love to hear from you.
Again, verse 14, Israel has forgotten his maker. Let me just say this. Don't forget who made you in creation. Don't forget your identity. And in redemption, don't forget your identity. Live up to what God has made you for. We'll be back right after this break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
It's been a long year, a long road, and I'm thankful to be going home. And as I head out to my own house, I got a fire burning in the stove. And my prayer is that no matter where you're at, you find a hope that fills your soul. For the Prince of Peace is there wherever you go.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We do wish you a Merry Christmas, and we thank God that you're listening today. And we're in Hosea, so I want to give some homework before we go to the phone calls. Read ahead for tomorrow, Wednesday, chapter 9 and chapter 10. And we may cover, we don't know if we'll get all of them, but notice the judgment. Finally, we're talking about a court case, and the case has been presented, and now the judgment is going to be passed. And when you read chapters 9 and 10, you'll see that that judgment is pretty severe. So look ahead and read ahead, and we'll get to it tomorrow. But Alex, we want to go to the phone calls. And what's that number?
That number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you've got a Bible question, we'd love to hear from you on today's edition of Exploring the Word. And your question just might become subject matter for one of our future books. The third edition in our 100 Bible questions is on the computers even right now. It's going to come out in the second half of 25, good Lord willing. And Bert, we're indebted to our listeners, aren't we? They help us do the show, and they help us produce even books.
Yeah, I couldn't have come up with all the questions that our listeners do. They've helped us so much. Really, they make this show what it is. We have other Bible teaching programs, and they're awesome. And we discuss it. Ours is a little bit different that we discuss it. And then we open up the Bible, so the phone line, so people can raise their hand and say, I got a question. So let's go to the first question today. And it's in Texas, and it's David. David, thank you for calling.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for your Bible teaching. It's a blessing to all of us. I'm calling about when the Lamb opens the first scroll in Revelation chapter 6. There is a rider on a white horse with a crown and a bow. There's a lot of conversation about who the rider might be, and I wonder if that's even important or what your thoughts and commentary are about the rider of the first horse, the white horse.
Thank you, David. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for what you said as well. We enjoy sharing the word of God. Alex, let me see. He has a bow and not a sword. Is that significant?
Yeah, I think that's very significant. And let me say that the first seal that's open, really this rider that goes forth in Revelation 6:2 is going forth for world conquest, really. It says he went forth conquering and to conquer. So I'm going to say I do not believe that is Jesus. Now, Christ is going to return on a white horse, but this, the famed four horsemen of the apocalypse, this first one is not going to be. And I'll say one more thing, because there's the breaking of a seal, and the seals, the bowls and the trumpets all signify judgment,
yeah,
don't they?
They do. And again, it is significant when you, the bow, and we talked about a deceitful bow today, how corrupt it can be and what it would be, and that conquering and to conquer. And I think it's something that's trying to imitate Christ, but it's not Christ. Alex, I agree with you fully.
It's the Antichrist as world dictator.
That's him coming on the scene. Okay, David, hope that helps. Thank you for calling. Let's stay in Texas and talk to Scott. Scott, thank you for calling Exploring the Word.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Howdy, brother.
Hey, I appreciate you guys' work. I love listening to y'all. I've got a question. Maybe you help me understand. We're going to be judged, but can you tell me, he forgives our sins, and casts them away as far as the east is from the west. So can you help me understand how you're going to be judged?
Okay, Scott, thank you for your call. Listen, that scripture, he does not remember them against us. Now, this is the whole idea. Let me do that, Alex, and then you do the rest if you don't mind. Listen, when you read like the Psalms, and you see the psalmist under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, like Psalm 78, 40, you go through it and you see that God brings up their past, their decisions, different things. Now, he's bringing them up to remind them of his forgiveness. He brings them up to warn them not to do the same thing. He doesn't hold them against them. He doesn't. The whole idea of that is remembering up against us. So our judgment as believers, Scott, has taken place at the cross. But according to 1 John 1:9, we need to be faithful in confessing our sins, don't we, Alex? We don't need to let them grow weary in sin. We need to, when we find ourselves straying, we need to get right with God quickly, don't we?
Well, we do. And I want to refer people to 2 Corinthians 5:10, speaking of believers, now saved, but it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Bert, salvation, heaven or hell, saved or lost, is determined in this life only. You must put your faith in Christ. But the judgment seat of Christ is not the judgment of will you be lost or saved, but there will be rewards for faithful service to Christ. There'll be loss of rewards for a lot of reasons, good that we could have done but we didn't do, maybe bad that as a born-again saved believer, stuff you knew you shouldn't have done, but you did. And so judgment, I want to be clear, and You know, nowadays people, they don't like to talk about judgment. But yes, even a born-again Christian will face, I'll put it this way, evaluation, analysis. Everything you did post-salvation, and you might say, well, gee, it's good enough just to go to heaven. I don't want any rewards. No, you do want crowns in heaven, because Revelation says we'll lay them at his feet and say glory to the Lamb. So I want to be clear, and Bert, you feel free to, you know, respond or affirm or whatever. But yes, Christians will face a type of judgment, not about eternity, but about the rewards or the crowns you'll get in heaven. Gary Habermas puts it this way: everything you do post-salvation is really shaping what your experience in heaven will be like. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
I heard this said by one of my mentors, Dr. Bobby Moore, and he was a godly man, a great man, a man of faith and prayer, just someone that I learned so much from. He said, if you your capacity to enjoy, and to use that word, enjoy heaven, is based upon what you do down here, some of you are not going to enjoy it to the fullest. Yes, you're glad to be there, but it's like going to the Grand Canyon. Alex, I had seen pictures of the Grand Canyon, and I always wanted to go, but when I got there, I was glad I had my eyesight so I could see it. I was glad I had my ear so I could hear certain things, you know? So we serve the Lord, and yes, you do want to serve the Lord, so you can hear the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And it is your term evaluation and being awarded those awards we can win. Yes, it's good. Well, let's go to North Carolina, Alex's home state, and talk to Joseph. Joseph, thank you for calling today. Be sure and turn your radio off, Joseph.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on, brother. Go right ahead. Be sure and turn your radio off, Joseph.
Okay, there we go. Can you hear me better?
Yeah, that's much better. Thank you, man.
All right. Hey, Brother Bert and Brother Alex. I was calling today mostly for my mother. I lost her this weekend, and she was fairly young, 59 years old. Mm-hmm. And the way she went, she wasn't on the right path, and she was involved in some stuff, and I would just like for y'all to pray for her soul, and hopefully she's with Jesus.
Well, we hope that too. We're going to pray for you, Joseph.
I'm so sorry.
We
are.
That hurts. That hurts. And you've got a whole community of believers in a nation, and even worldwide, because we have people listening in other countries because of the internet, that we're going to lift you up and ask God to help you, brother, during this period of time. And what all of us who are there, let me just say this, Alex, I'm going to say it, and let's live our lives in such a way that when we are gone, people will know we were with the Lord. So if those of us that are with the Lord, let's continue with the Lord. If you're not right with God, get right with God today. Mm-hmm. And that's our prayer, isn't it, Alex?
It really is. In fact, I want to pray now. Is the caller's name Joseph?
Joseph. That's who it is. Joseph, again, we're praying for you. Alex is going to lead us, brother.
Let's pray. Father God, you are the God of all comfort. And Lord, the Bible says that you are very near to those that are of a broken heart. And Lord, you can come in and dry our tears. I lift up this man, and he's got a bereavement here at Christmas, and his mother has died. And I know so many people that have experienced the loss of a loved one. And Lord, just comfort this brother. Let him draw close to you. Lord, I pray there'll be people all around him that will comfort him. And Lord, we do hope that his mother is with you. But Lord, I pray everybody listening right now that people would give their heart to Jesus if they have not done so already, and that every one of us would live so as there would be no question. And Lord, it's not for show or anything, but it is for your glory. But Lord, let us live so that the ones we leave behind would not agonize wondering. And Lord, I pray that this dear man will just find all of his comfort and all of his answers in you, Jesus. And we pray to the God who ministers to the brokenhearted, the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that we can do this. In your name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. Joseph, thank you for calling us today. And we enter in with you. Those of you that do, you know what I'm going to say. Write Joseph's name down. And let's be praying for him the next day or so, especially, and ask God to give him what he needs at a time like this. Thank you, Joseph. Let's go to Chris in Tennessee. Thank you for calling, Chris.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call and make a comment on book Hosea first. If you look at Jezreel Valley over in Israel right now, look at all the produce that come. I forget what the export is. But now they're having fruit and vegetables and everything coming out of there. But if you read over in First Kings, you'll find out, just like at the book of Ezekiel, retribution and restoration, you'll read about the first murder that that happened there in Jezreel. Jezebel that killed Naboth and had him over that vine.
Nabal, yeah.
But what I was getting at is, Galatians 4 and verse 9 and 10, if you look at that, it's the same thing, pagan worship. You see Paul's dealing with pagan worship because you see the God and the G-O-D in big letters. Then you look down at the last, I think it may be the last word, it's little G-O-D, little God. So you know that he was dealing not only with pagan worship, Judaizers, circumcision group. But he was also dealing with that paganism.
Yeah. Listen, it's been with us. You're right, Chris. Listen, that man, there's this whole song, Prone to Wander. That's it, isn't it, Alex? And if without God in our lives, I just want to tell you, there's really none good, no, not one. None of us measure up, do we, Alex?
That's true. You know, the caller mentioned the Galatians 4:9, and Paul, says, why would you return again to the weak and beggarly elements? In other words, empty, can't save. The world, religion, idolatry, materialism, self-sufficiency, they can't save you. But the Savior, Jesus, who rose from the dead, he can. Put your faith in Jesus. And, you know, Bert, I was thinking about the previous caller. It might be a prayer as simple as, Lord, I need you, or Lord, please help me.
Amen.
Folks, you don't have to get all eloquent before God. Just cry out to him right now. Tell God what's on your heart, and he will hear you, and he will respond.
He really will. That's our prayer for everyone that's listening. We're going to try to get one more call in. Larry, we don't have a lot of time. You're from Alabama. Give us your question or comment, brother. Go right ahead.
Yes, I was reading a devotional this weekend, and that stated that the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and God were equal, but they do different jobs.
Amen. Alex, that is true. Jesus said, let me give this, and I'll throw it back to Alex real quick. Thank you, Larry. Jesus said, I must go away, and the emphasis is on the must. Mm-hmm. If I don't go away, the Spirit will not come. Why? Because the Spirit is going to dwell in you. He said, I'm putting it in my vernacular, I've dwelled beside you, but he's going to dwell in you. That sounds like different, but it's good, isn't it?
It really is, and I love to teach on the attributes of God, but the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And let me say, the Holy Spirit is very active. I love it how the Bible says the Spirit testifies of these things.
Amen.
Let God the Holy Spirit be your teacher. 1 John 2:27.
You have the greatest teacher in all the world in you if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. He is the Holy Spirit. Let him guide you to all truth. Alex, we'll be continuing in Hosea tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. Again, it's pretty tough tomorrow because the judgments, they're coming. But let me tell you, if you want a preview, read a little bit and read chapter 10. You'll see some hope. It's there, isn't it?
It really is. Folks, thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. Tell somebody about this program and AFR, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
When you hear us mention the AFR app, you probably think about your smartphone. We do have apps for Apple and Android users, but it doesn't stop there. If you have an Alexa, we've got you covered. But wait, there's more. Sorry. There's also an AFR app for Roku or Apple TV. So many ways you can listen to your favorite show, podcast, or music. Find out more at afr.net/apps.